Good afternoon. My name is Larry Sinclair. In regards to the Obama incident, I flew out of Colorado Springs, Colorado to Chicago on November 2nd, 1999, arriving in O'Hare early in the morning of November 3rd. I went to the Chicago area to attend the graduation of my godson, my best friend's son, from basic training from the Great Lakes Navy Training Facility. I made reservations at the Comfort Inn and Suites in Gurnee, Illinois, based solely on the location to the training center. On November 5th, 1999, I hired the services of Five-Star Limousine. Excuse me. I had hired them both for November 5th and November 6th of 1999. On November 6th, 1999, I asked the limo driver, whose name I now reveal for the first time, Jagir Paramit Mutani, if he knew anyone who would like to socialize and show me Chicago. Mr. Mutani understood that I was looking for someone who knew Chicago and would enjoy socializing. Mr. Mutani said he knew someone who was a friend of his. On November 6, 1999, after picking me up at the hotel in Gurnee, and this is significant, Mr. Mutani used his cell phone to make a call. That call was made to then Illinois State Senator Barack Obama to set up an introduction between myself and Senator Obama. Upon arriving at the bar and exiting the limo, Senator Obama was standing next to Mr. Mutani, and I was introduced to Senator Obama by name. Later that evening in a bar which I believe was called Alibis, and I state believe because I have failed so far to get Citigroup to provide the credit card receipts that has the actual name. I mentioned I could use a line or two to wake up. Senator Obama asked me if I was referring to Coke, and I stated I was. After stating I was, Obama stated he could purchase cocaine for me and then made a telephone call. This too is significant, from a cell phone to a presently unknown individual, during which Senator Obama arranged the cocaine purchase. Senator Obama and I then departed the bar in my limousine and proceeded to an unknown location where Senator Obama exited the limousine with $250, which was provided to him by me. Returned a short while later with an 8-ball of cocaine, which he gave to me. I did ingest a couple of lines of cocaine, and shortly thereafter, Senator Obama produced a glass cylinder pipe and packet of crack cocaine from his pocket. Obama then smoked the crack cocaine. I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine, after which I had the driver take me to my hotel, the Comfort Suites, Gurnee, Illinois. The following day, November 7th, 1999, Senator Obama appeared at my hotel room, unannounced, uninvited, where we again ingested cocaine and I again performed fellatio on Senator Obama. Significantly, both the driver's telephone call to Senator Obama and his call to the drug dealer should appear on the driver's and Senator Obama's cell phone billing statements. In the fall of 2007, September 2007, I contacted the presidential campaign of Barack Obama to request solely that Senator Obama publicly correct his stated drug use record to reflect his use of crack cocaine with me in November of 1999. When I made the first contact, I left with the presidential campaign of Senator Obama a telephone number for the campaign to return my call. The first number I provided was a Texas cell phone number. From the period of Labor Day weekend 2007 through November 18th of 2007, I did provide a total of 4 different callback numbers to the Obama campaign. As I had moved and I had changed the numbers to reflect locally my place of residence at the time. In late September to early October 2007, I received a call from a male who identified himself as a Mr. Young, stating he was calling in regards to calls I had made to the Obama campaign. This first call was in fact an attempt by Mr. Young to obtain from me the identities of anyone I contacted concerning my 1999 allegations against Senator Obama. This first call shocked me in that the first call was in fact an attempt by Mr. Young to obtain from me the identities of anyone I contacted concerning my 1999 allegations against Senator Obama. The first call shocked me in that this Mr. Young asked me why I had not asked Senator Obama to disclose the sexual encounters I had with Mr. Obama in 1999. I was shocked as I had never mentioned to the campaign or anyone working for the campaign. Any sexual encounters, as my call was prompted by drug allegations only. The call ended with Mr. Young stating I would hear from someone in a few days. In mid to late October 2007, I received a second call from this Mr. Young, at which time I clearly became aware that this individual was personally involved with Senator Obama rather than just an employee of his campaign. The tone of the conversation had a sexual nature. Mr. Young did not once advise me how he obtained my phone number, which by this time had now changed to a Delaware number. In late October 2007, I received a text message from the gentleman identified as Mr. Young, in which he stated he was intimately involved with Senator Obama and that Obama was discussing with him and his pastor how to publicly acknowledge Senator Obama's drug use in 1999, and that Obama wanted to be sure I had not discussed the sexual encounters or drug incidents with any media at that time. In mid to late November 2007, in another text message from Mr. Young, he advised me that Senator Obama will publicly correct his statement as to the last time he used drugs, and I did not need to concern myself with publicly disclosing it myself. The last contact I had with Mr. Young was in early December 2007, when he made it clear to me that Senator Obama had no intentions of publicly acknowledging his 1999 use of crack cocaine, and that Mr. Young was in fact doing nothing more than milking information from me for Senator Obama's use. I later learned that A. Donald Young, the choir director of Reverend Wright's Trinity United Church of Christ, Obama's now former church, and who was openly homosexual, learned that he was murdered on December 23rd of 2007. I have cooperated with the Chicago Police Department on this matter by providing them the telephone numbers I was using during the fall of 2007. And I release them now publicly in the hope that someone may be able to connect the dots between these telephone numbers and Mr. Young. In what I now realize was a naive and uncounseled decision, I posted in January 2008 a video on YouTube where I related the above information regarding my liaisons with Senator Obama in 1999. The response was overwhelming, and I quickly became the recipient of what in hindsight appears to have been a coordinated attack on my character with ever-increasing falsehoods circulating on the internet. Dan Parisi of WhiteHouse.com received $750,000 from the Obama campaign through David Axelrod's AKP Media and Message One, or Message and Media, I think, to organize an effort to publicly discredit me. When I confronted Dan Parisi with this allegation, he did not deny it. The polygraph results, as misrepresented, were immediately seized upon by the blogger community, and I became the subject of vicious lies about me. I was forced to file a lawsuit in an attempt to stop those lies about me that had been circulating. That lawsuit sought to obtain the proof of what I was saying about my contact with Senator Obama through subpoenas for the identities of the anonymous bloggers, so they could be linked to the Obama campaign and relevant records of the cell phone companies to prove the truth of my allegations. To date, though the lawsuit is now over 90 days old, Judge Henry Kennedy has refused to permit the suit to move forward so this evidence may be obtained. In conclusion, in sum, you can discredit my story, and then you can make your decision on who should be next president of the United States. The burden is now off of me, as I have told my story without the distortions that I've been intentionally heaped on me, and what my lawyer tells me is an ad hominem attack. Shoot the messenger so you don't have to hear the message he is bringing. I'm now done. It's for others to find the corroborating evidence of my story by locating the limousine driver, Mr. Multani, by checking the telephone numbers related to Donald Young and Senator Obama. I leave you with these questions that I've asked of Senator Obama, but in which he, of course, refuses to answer. Who wants to be the next president of the United States? Has refused to answer. Number one, why won't Senator Obama provide his cell phone numbers and telephone records for all his personal and official cell phones held by him for the time period of no more than November 3rd through November 8th of 1999, when we met? Two, Why won't Senator Obama provide his cell phone numbers and telephone records for all his personal and official cell phones held by Senator Obama for September 2007 through December 23rd of 2007, the murder of Donald Young? 3, why won't Senator Obama provide all email communication, both personal and campaign related, to and or from AKP Media and Message from January 18th, 2008 through February 29th of 2008 for Senator Obama, David Axelrod, and David Plew? 4, why won't Senator Obama provide proof of all payments made from AKP Media, Obama for America, David Axelrod, David Plew, and Senator Obama's accounts for the period of January 18th, 2008?